You ready for the word now? Amen. We've been in a series now, character studies, as you know, going through particularly the book of Genesis. And Moses has been bringing such a rich word. And I want him to continue that. So let's welcome him back as he comes to just bless us with the meat of what God is saying through the word of God. Amen? Amen. Come on, brother. Take your time. Thank you. Amen. Oh, thank you very much, Pastor Pat. Welcome, everybody, and good afternoon. Thank you very much. And that's exactly where I'm going to begin. Because while I would have loved to continue with the series on Joseph, today is a special day, right? Happy Father's Day. So everybody woke up coming to me, you know, Happy Father's Day, Happy Father's Day. And the more they said that, the more I began to think, what exactly do they mean? What does Happy Father's Day mean? Does it mean a day for happy fathers? Or does it mean a day when, you know, all fathers at least should be happy one day? And this is the day. What does Happy Father's Day mean? And I thought I should just concentrate a little bit on that. And that would be our reflection partly. For today, and then I'll, you know, let us go early so that if we are fathers, we can go and have a happy day, or at least we can go and make some father happy out there. Because, okay, Happy Father's Day. Daddy, have a happy day today. Amen. It's good. Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in our lives, in our hearts, in our world today, as you have planned it and purposed it in the kingdom. Forgive us, Lord, where we have fallen short, and where we continue to fall short. But be on our side, Lord, and give us our daily blessing, delivering us from every manner of temptation and evil that surrounds us. And help us to love you and to serve you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. I know I've shared here before about Father's Day. And the first time I shared here about on Father's Day, I gave a list or examples or types of fathers. I talked about the absentee father, and many of us fathers are guilty of being absentee fathers. Even those who think they are present are very guilty of being absent, because you can be present and yet absent. In the days of big newspapers, how many fathers sat in their houses with a very wide newspaper open in front of them, and they didn't even notice who was greeting them? And if you have a good number of children like some of us, you know, Mary gives you a drink and you say, thank you, sir. And that basically tells you how absent you are. You know, and there's so many fathers out there who are just irresponsible. They're just not there. In many ways today, many people, very sadly, are like chickens. Because last time I was here, I talked about the character of God brooding over us like a hen, you remember? And that was on Mother's Day. And oftentimes, once the chicks hatch, the little chickens, they only follow the mother. They will never follow the father. So the father is basically under. And that is very true of many people and of many families. But today I want to examine a little bit briefly the relationship between father and children. Jesus Christ preferred, of all relationships, so of all the offices and responsibilities and the powers and the deity that surrounds God, Jesus preferred to bring to us one, Father. It's the most important. And if we can understand that and embrace it and appreciate it, it's enough. We can walk away. Because once I know that God is my Father, how many of us fathers are really as bad as our children think we are? There's no father. If you're a father, there's no father whom the children have never thought about as being bad, let me tell you. At one stage or another. I told you how one time in my family, a long time ago, it's interesting to see children grow and see them change and transform. But one day, I wanted to do an evaluation of myself, and so I asked family. I said, everybody get a piece of paper and pen for our altar time today. We are going to talk about father. And write down at least 5 good things you know about father. And I think if anybody succeeded in writing 3, they really wrote. Somehow they could not reach 5. It was very, very difficult to reach 5. If somebody reached 5, they repeated 1. And then I said, okay, now write at least 5 bad things about father. And if anybody wrote 5, they just stopped. But everybody could have very easily reached 10, So, but that is the passage that Pastor Bill read to us about the children of Israel going through the wilderness. That's exactly what happens. As a father, the father is leading you through some very difficult times sometimes. And you ask him, why did you bring us from Egypt? It was better there. Sure. And many times, children think about their fathers that way. So I kept thinking, what does this word father mean? And I tried to put all the, words around it to try and define the word father. It's very difficult. But as I did that, the question kept coming back, why father? And that is the topic or the theme of my message today. Why father? Why did God choose to present himself as a father? And why did Jesus meticulously and carefully present God as Father? Why Father? If you're writing down a topic or theme, that's it. Why Father? And so I thought about Father and I said the letter F stands for family. Fathers are fathers because there are families. And fathers are fathers because they have responsibility over family. And friends, if there is anything the devil is fighting today, it is the word family. I read of a story of a person who was traveling, was flying with another person. And on the flight, this Christian person or brother noticed that the person he was sitting with did not eat. Every meal they brought, he said no. And naturally, he began to say, this person must be fasting because he seems to be talking to himself a lot of the time. You could see his lips moving at least, and he was not eating meals. So this Christian brother said, this man must be a dear brother praying and fasting. And so he turned and asked him and said, sir, do you mind if I can find out? You've been saying no to every meal, and if you have flown and you know what it means to sit 9-10 hours next to a person, you have to talk to them somehow. If you don't, when you reach turbulence, you'll talk to each other anyway, because everybody will look for something to hold on to, and even those who didn't want to look at you will naturally say, oh my God, did you feel that? So anyway, he asks him and says, you know, and the man says, oh yeah, yeah, we are praying. I'm praying. And there's something we are praying about. And he says, oh, well, that's interesting. What are you praying about? And he says, families. Families. What is the issue about families? So we want families to break. Because the family is the unit where God is spoken about. And if families can't break, then we'll fix it. That story intrigued me. Like I'm sure it will intrigue most of you as you listen to it. But this man turned out to be a Satanist. And so, they're not just watching. It's not just people are working to break the family. And there are many ways that the devil is cultivating and carving out to break the family. What is family? And why family? And that's why Jesus was born in a family. Jesus could have been thrown and presented to us like Adam was presented. But God chose to give us Jesus through a loving family. And a loving family with a responsible father, who even when he was contemplating divorce, did not do it like today where they call a press conference and divorce you on television. And the whole world knows you are divorced anyway. Or they divorce you on the internet and you're on Yahoo. He was contemplating doing it privately to protect the integrity of his family. That's the family God chose for Jesus to be born. So fathers are people who have tremendous, enormous responsibility over family. Family could be family in the house of God. Could be family in your household. But fathers, F, also stands for faith. Fathers are people who must have faith. Especially in today's economy. Anybody here who is functioning without faith? You can't be a father today without faith. And if you are a father who loses faith, then your family is going to lose faith in you. And once your family loses faith in you, you're gone. You don't have any more family to talk about. You don't deserve to be called father. Father, faith. But fathers are supposed to promote fellowship. Fellowship. And Jesus made sure he promoted fellowship. It's not just a question of everybody being there. So when we call ourselves their father's house, we are supposed to be in fellowship. Amen. Fellowship means fellows in a ship. Fellows together in a ship. That's what fellowship means. We are all fellows. We are all similar. We all think about the same things. We don't think alike, but we focus on the same things. And I'm sure God doesn't expect us to think alike. That's why he made each one of us different, right? But then he wants each one of us to bring our gifts and our uniqueness to bear. But fathers must be people who know how to follow. You can't be a good leader until you're a good follower. That's why the Bible says, as Jesus is the head of the man, so is the man head of a woman. Not all women. Not all women. A woman. That woman that you lead. You live with. And head of the household. If you know how to follow, the challenge today is that many men don't know how to follow God. There are many people who are following nothing. Those of you who are on LinkedIn, you have followers, or Twitter, you have followers, right? People who follow you. It depends on where they are following you to. Depends on where you are leading them. And then you also have people you follow. It depends on where you are following them to. But as followers, following means we know how to follow. So that those who follow us, we can lead them to where they need to be. Paul says, be imitators of me, even as I imitate Christ. I imitate Christ so that the children can imitate me. Sometimes when you look at the way your children behave and you don't like it, they're just imitating you. They're just imitating you. And let me tell you, you know, this is a very interesting example, a very live example. Children are very good at watching and imitating. As we took Holy Communion this morning, I'm going to talk about my brother Eddie's children. As we took Holy Communion this morning, brother Rob, sorry. As we took Holy Communion this morning, I received the cup. And you see, you know, some of those seats have that little tray. And it has a small hole and you can put the little cup in there. And I reached out to put my little cup in one of those. In the seat in front of me. One of his little children was looking right at me. And as soon as I finished putting my cup there, she reached up and put my cup. And I said, this is how children learn. And they say, if you don't want your child to do it, never do it when they're watching. But if they also say, if you, there's anything you will do, you don't want your children to see you doing it, never do it. Now, I tell very many stories, and I grew up telling all these African stories and little stories, you know, fireplace stories, and they were good, they're sweet, they help, they encourage the soul. And there was this lady who was very hungry and went to steal. And she had a small child. And she told the child, watch out while I go to pick something. And she said to the child, if you see anybody coming, shout. So, did I say lady? It was a man. Ladies don't steal. It was a man. So the man told the boy, stand here and watch. And the boy stood and watched. When the father was about to pick what he went to steal, the boy shouted. And the father took cover. Then waited and nothing, there was nobody, there was no movement. So he came to the child and said, what did you see? And the child said, God was watching you. Father, A, available. Fathers are supposed to be available. I don't know how many of us fathers are available. Again, as I said, you may be present, but are you available? Can the children reach you? Can those who want to reach you, reach you? Can they touch you? Are you available? We have made ourselves so complex. The Bible says God made us simple, but we've made ourselves complicated. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. God made us simple, but we've made ourselves complicated. And somehow the more complicated you are in the world today, the better, right? Then you can outshine everybody. You're smart. You have the latest technology. You know how to manipulate everything. You're very complex. But fathers, we are supposed to be available to our households, to our children, to our families. We're supposed to be approachable. But then there is the bigger one, ability. Fathers are supposed to have ability. We are supposed to be able. And the most painful thing is to be a father who has no ability. To be a father who can't put bread on the table. To be a father who can't fulfill your duties and responsibilities. And this is what breaks the hearts of many people today. It is that sense of helplessness that overwhelms every man and says, ladies, if you're here and you don't know that, I've said this here before, you don't know that many of us men are very big children. That sense of helplessness overwhelms the man so fast, so quickly. If they can't do it, it just kind of sweeps them off their feet. But fathers are supposed to be available. Fathers are supposed to be approachable. Fathers are supposed to be able. Now, fathers, if you are here, and each of you has fathers, right? Or you have a father. Everybody here has had a father or has a father. Or you have somebody you look at too and say, I think that guy is a father. Get their name and be putting marks as we walk along. You know. So for F, if you put 10, you know, we'll do it out of 10, right? So out of 10, 10 out of 10. So, if you go 10 out of 10 for being a father who cares for your family, you have faith, you create and promote fellowship, and you follow so that you are followed, put 10. If you're available, you're approachable, and you're able, put 10. All right? Fathers are supposed to be trustworthy. Now, that is a real challenge for many fathers. Of course, everybody says, I'm trustworthy. Isn't it? Everybody says, I'm trustworthy. And how many of us here really would want to be called not trustworthy? And so there was this man whose child was sent out of school. Again, I tell all these stories about thieves and about, you know. So this boy was kicked out of school because he stole a pen. They threw him out of school for stealing a pen. And the father was so embarrassed. And he was disciplining this child. And said, you steal a pen? You have so embarrassed me. You could have told me. I have so many pens in my office. Office pens. I could have just picked one and given you. He missed the humor in that. How would he have got the pen from the office? Does it belong to him? So that's what he's basically telling his child. How many of us are trustworthy fathers? And how many times have we made promises and appointments to our children that we didn't fulfill? And they expected us to fulfill them, and we didn't. And if you have 7 promises to fulfill every day, at least 7, chances are you'll forget one, right? But fathers are tested, or are supposed to be tested. Tested, tried. and then you become tough. And I know that every father here has been tested. And if you haven't been tested, I prophesy. It is coming. It is coming in one circumstance or another, it will come. And you know, it doesn't end. People think when that kid hits 18, or when that kid hits 21, it doesn't end. It does not end. So I was talking to a very senior government person in one country, the country I came from, Uganda, one time. Very senior, very religious. Very, a man of integrity. And his 40-year-old son was an alcoholic. Completely sold out. A celebrated engineer that sold out to alcohol. 40 years old. And he got to a stage where he desperately, if he came to visit you and he found something he could pick to go and sell, he picked it. To go and sell. To get some money to take alcohol. And this man told me a statement that I reflected on and reflected on, and it was very difficult. He said, you know, Moses, I made a decision. Every day, I give him some money. So that at least he will not go to steal where he could suffer greater things that will embarrass me even more. But I got to a stage where I had to give him money so he could go on. And I reflected, I said, is that helping you? Or are you destroying it? But by the time he reached that stage, he had been through a lot. It was a very difficult decision. The issue is how difficult such a decision can be. So when does a father stop being a father? I know the world today tells us, once they are done, right? Not with God. When the prodigal son took everything and went and spent it. After he had spent everything, he came back looking finished. The Bible says the father saw him afar. He went and said, this is my son. My own flesh. How much are we willing to take in for our sons and daughters? I don't know. I don't know. It's difficult, isn't it? It's tough. How far can you go? And how far should you go? How much can you do and how much shouldn't you do? But what makes a father? Father. I come from a culture where even at my age, people still see me as somebody's son. So when people talk about me, they will define me this way. Moses, the son of Abiathar. I'm still seen in light of my father. People don't see me as an entity, as an individual. And it's not disrespectfulness, no. It's that line. They see me and they say, whose son is that? Oh. And they go to my mother up to now, they say, woman, aren't you so lucky? These boys, you know, and I have brothers, and they're taller than me, and they're big, some of them. They're, and but they still come and we'll sit down there with our mother, and she can still say to me, go. And I have to go. And the other women on the village say, woman, aren't you lucky? And when people see us, and they're supposed to see us in light of our father, Is that God's child? And if you've been there, one day somebody will say to you, and you say you're a Christian? Or is that how Christians are supposed to behave? Oh, and sometimes how you look around and just wish there's nobody from your church who saw you. But fathers are tried, tested, and are supposed to be tough. And I looked at the letter H and I said, what would the letter H here stand for? I said, happiness. Right? Fathers are supposed to be symbols of happiness or sources of happiness. But if you've been where I've been, then you know it doesn't always happen that way. You know, I, of course, when you're a preacher, many times when you preach like me, you many times talk about your family. And I talk about my family because I don't want to talk about your family. Because these things only happen in my family, amen? They don't happen in your family. But how many times have you walked in the house and the noise dies down? You just walk in and the noise dies down. It's like, what happened? I wanted to be part of this joy. No? But fathers are supposed to be sources of happiness, right? And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who told me and said, you know, Moses, he was wedding, it was his wedding. And this particular brother, he took his time. He preached the gospel and he prayed. And in the culture I come from, if you take that long, people begin to ask very important questions. And so we were asking some very important questions. This man was already 45 and he's still preaching the gospel. And people were asking very, very important questions. Finally, when he was 46, finally, 46, he saw somebody. And he said, now. And you know, as he prepared his wedding, one day we were talking and he says, Moses, I regret one thing. My father is not here to see me wed. Because what all of us as children don't know is that the happiest person when you succeed is the father. You know, when you do anything great, the person who really enjoys it is your father. You know, I went the other day to watch Emmanuel play some basket. And you know, he plays, dribbles, of course, falls down. I'll not talk about that. But then eventually he picks the ball and he makes a basket. And instantly he looks in my direction to say, did you see that? And isn't that what our Father in heaven does? Doesn't he rejoice and celebrate at our success? But how many times do we think, no, God doesn't even rejoice when we succeed? But the truth is that in the father-daughter, father-son, father-child relationship, the father is a source of happiness and enjoys and celebrates when we succeed. But also, the fathers are very helpful. I don't know how many of us fathers are helpful. Now there's an exodus. And this is an exodus of excitement. But I know about it. Esther is arriving from Canada, coming to visit. So they're going to meet her at the airport. And there was a debate, you know, and said, okay, let's go to church. Make sure you come to church. You leave early, we'll understand. So that's that exodus. It's not a protest about this father who is not a protest about this father who is. But fathers are supposed to be helpful. And that's where challenges come. And fathers feel, I don't know about all the other fathers here, and I asked a few men, I said, I'll ask you to share some of your experiences as fathers. But one of the things that will hurt me is to know that my child needed my help. But rather than come to me for that help, they went elsewhere without even talking to me. It raises questions. And how many of us know that that's how children can be taken advantage of? But how many of us would rather go to somebody else before we go to our Father in heaven? There was a time I was going to preach. It was a long journey I was going to drive, and I needed somebody to go with to this particular. It was a pastor's seminar, and I was going to address the pastor's seminar, but I had to drive. And so I remember talking to a few friends and asking them to go with me. And I asked two people, and each one of them said, no. But I was running out of time, so anyway, I drove and I went. And on the way, my spirit inside of me asked me, you asked everybody else to go with you. Did you ask God to go with you? Oh, instantly in the car, you should have seen some mentally confused man praying, you know. He said, Father, come and go with me. And as soon as I prayed that prayer, the word I had prepared, the Lord said, that's not what I want you to talk about. And I just felt it in my heart. That's not the word I'm going to preach. But now I'm going to preach. I have about 30 minutes to get there. I've just given up on the word I prepared. And I need a new word. And I get there and the Lord gives me a totally different word. And I say, this is what I'm going to talk about. And when the man who stands up to introduce me stands up to introduce me, he says, this brother is going to be talking to us about this. And that is the new word I got, and not the word I had prepared. How many times do we ask our Heavenly Father for help? The E in there stands for every day. You are not a father only some days. When it is good, you are a father, right? When there's money in the pocket, you are a father, right? You are a father whether there's money there or there isn't. You are a father, and a father will always be a father. You can't change. So it's an everyday thing, encouraging everybody. And finally, I put an R for responsible. The father is responsible. Fathers are supposed to be responsible. And I want to bring my message to some conclusion along those lines by sharing from the Word of God. I know many of you are saying, brother, you're speaking all this time, you're not telling us from reading to us from the Word of God. So, Pastor, if you can read for us, and it is one of those scriptures that don't directly talk about fatherhood, but 1 Timothy. And these two passages are very identical. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Very identical with Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9.
This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable.
Let's go slowly. Let's look at these attributes one by one. He says if a man desires to be a bishop, to be an overseer, to be a leader, whatever type of leadership it is that you desire to be, he says he must first of all be the husband of one wife. He's beginning with the family. Let's read those attributes one by one. Pastor, if you can start again.
Okay. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless.
Blameless. How many of us would put up our hands and say we are blameless? Fathers, blameless. Wow. Friends, let's read the next one.
The husband of one wife.
Oh, that one I'm sure many fathers will put up their hands. Amen?
Temperate.
Temperate. Big challenge, right? Depending on the age of the children. Temperaments can, you know, and we all fathers, we have a challenge. I mean, there are moments when you raise your voice and then you look back and say, maybe I was too tough there. Let's read on.
Amen. Sober-minded.
Oh, I believe everybody will put up their hand there. Everybody is sober-minded, fathers, right? But some of us maybe have fathers who have not been sober-minded.
Of good behavior.
That one I think is automatic, right? Everybody's putting a tick. Of good behavior. Now, whatever good behavior means, I don't know. But discipline is a very complex thing. In many ways, this culture, what means discipline in one context may not necessarily equal discipline in another context. But at the same time, there are some standard expectations. And Paul is saying, in the church of Christ, yeah, there must be good behavior.
Exactly.
Yes.
Hospitable.
Carry on.
Able to teach. Not given to wine.
I am not going to talk about that.
Not violent.
Carry on.
Not greedy for money, but gentle. Not quarrelsome. Not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence.
For very important. These are qualities. Mm-hmm. Paul is attributing these qualities to men who aspire great office. But in many ways, these are the qualities of a father. And for all of us, fathers, you know, when you go back home, those who are fathers and those who desire to be fathers and those who have fathers, when you go back home, look up these attributes again and begin to ask yourself, are these things that I practice? And then that part, that last part you just read, if you can repeat for us again, one who governs.
Yes, one who rules his or governs his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?
Let's stop there. Now that is a very difficult litmus test, a very interesting yardstick. If a man cannot rule, govern his own house, how can he take care of the work of God? And let me tell you today, friends, I began by telling you a story about this man who was on the plane and somebody was praying next to him. If there is one thing that has happened today, is the rebelliousness that has arisen among children and the helplessness of fathers to influence the lives of their children. And the things, the alternatives that the world is presenting is sometimes painful. It's painful. One time I was walking through a metro station, and the father was walking with his 13-year-old, he must have been about 13 years old, son. And they had an argument. And the boy is shouting and he's saying to the father, you don't even understand what you're talking about. And I heard that and I stopped and I looked back. And I felt like going to get this young man. Maybe the man wasn't his father. Maybe I'm assuming. But he looked alike. And so my assumption is that he was his father. But rebellion has so increased in the world today that fathers are increasingly feeling helpless. What do I do? I don't know. But then as fathers, that's the challenge we have. But the Bible even extends it beyond our children. And it says to our grandchildren. We have responsibility not just for our children, but even for our children. To help them. Because if we can hold on to these principles ourselves, we will help our children and our children's children to hold on to these principles. Now, I'm not here to make every father feel guilty, because I don't think there's anybody who gave themselves 100 out of 100. Okay? Fathers, anybody gave themselves an A++? An A? A B? Many of us would be many of us would pass with a B, right? I'm sure in the house of God there is nobody who passes this one with a C. If you pass with a C, we'll be saying, brother, we need to have some days of prayer and fasting with you. But at the end of it is supposed to be Happy Father's Day. But happy fathers who enjoy a happy day do it because they have had happy families that they have nurtured happily, but above all, because they are following the Father, who is the chief father, who helps us to be fathers. And I don't know what type of relationship we would all prefer. Many of us probably would prefer a God who is king, a God who is a banker. Today, many people really want God who is a banker, an ATM machine. But what the Lord Jesus would like, what the Father wants, is for us to be sons and daughters. And what does the Bible say? To all who received him, to all who welcomed him, he gave them the authority to become princes. Amen? To all who received him, who embraced him, he gave them the authority to become prosperous. Amen?
No.
To all who received him, to all who welcomed them, he gave them the authority to become stars. To all who received him, who embraced him, he gave them authority to become the children of God. We are children. Let's stand up and just worship our Father. Just bless him. And just thank him. Just tell him, Father, we bless you. You are Father. You are Father. You are our Father. We are children and your Father. We bless your name. We give you glory. We honor you. We bless you. We praise you. We bless your holy name, Lord. We worship you and we magnify your holy name. How we give you all the glory. How we bless you. How we praise you. How we thank you, Lord. What a mighty God you are. Blessed be your holy name, O Father, King of kings and Lord of lords. Our Father, we bless you, Father. We worship you, Father. We bless you, Father. We honor you, Father. We give you glory, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to ask the men of the house if you can just walk to the front. And I'm going to ask the ladies of the house to just make a ring around the men. And just pray over these men. Pray over these men. Because the Lord has entrusted us with the responsibility to represent Him in our households, in our families, in our workplaces. But the devil is fighting, the enemy is struggling to break and destroy. I'm going to ask all the men, if you're a man, come by and we'll pray. We are going to pray. And I'm going to ask Sister Sherry, if you can lead us in prayer, to pray over these men of God and just pray. Just pray over us.
Father, we thank you for the blessings of the heads of the households. We thank you for your promises, O God, to these men, to the households, O God. We thank you, Lord God, that you have imparted into them everything that they need, from leading to forgiveness, O God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've imparted into them everything from thankfulness to mercy, O God. You've given them everything that they need, and you've given them the ability to know when they need to be on their knees, O God. We thank you for what you've given us, Lord Jesus, and these men, and we just ask for your goodness and your abundance and your mercy and your love to be poured out upon them. And everything, Lord God, that was spoken today over them, Lord Jesus, we are in agreement with, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Now I want us as men, fathers, to proclaim a blessing and to prophesy blessings on our households. I want every father to declare, every man with you, declare blessings upon your household. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we speak a blessing upon our households. We declare a blessing upon our households, O God. We declare a blessing upon our children, O God. We declare a blessing upon our grandchildren, O Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we proclaim a blessing. We proclaim a blessing. We proclaim a blessing, Lord God of glory. A blessing upon our children. A blessing upon our daughters. A blessing upon our sons. A blessing upon our spouses, O Father. A blessing upon everything in our household. Everything in our possession. We proclaim a blessing. We proclaim a blessing, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We break every yoke. We break every yoke. We break every yoke. We break every yoke. And we release the presence of God. We release the presence of God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. Oh, Rambaka Sito Robo Shandarabaka Sito Robo Korea Sandarabaka. Hallelujah. Father, standing in the authority that you gave us as children, we come with grateful hearts. Because, Lord, who are we? Who are we? Who are we? Who are we, Lord? Who are we? And yet, you have allowed us to call you Father. You've allowed us to call you Father. Forgive us, Lord, where we've taken your name in vain. Where we may have even brought shame and embarrassment to your name. Forgive us, Lord. But as your children, we make ourselves available today. Father, use us. Use us the way you want to use us, Lord. Lead us that we may follow you, Father. Show us the way Lord, we are reminded of Mr. Manoho, who asked you and said, teach us how we should look after this child. Teach us, Lord, how we should look after our households. And if there are things we may have done which have hurt people in our households, Father, bring healing. 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 Heal us as men. And not only us standing here in this church, Lord, but we represent many men out there. Some of whom do not even know how to call upon you as Lord. Father, bring healing upon the men in this country. Bring healing upon the men in this world, O God. Father, many men have walked away from their households. Many have abandoned their responsibilities. Many have forsaken their children. Many have even put a curse upon their children without knowing. Father, bring healing. Bring deliverance. Bring healing. Bring healing. Bring healing, God. Father, as a result of our prayer and cry to you today, may there be some man who returns to his home. May there be some man who reconciles with his wife. May there be some man who reconciles with his children, O God. May there be children who seek reconciliation with their fathers as a result of our prayer today on this Father's Day. Father, bring healing. Father, we are here. Father, we are here. Father, we are here. We that little chorus as we pray to God. Father, we are here. Father, we are here. Father, we Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we of God, Spirit of God, we are here. Spirit of God, we are here. Spirit of God, we are here.
Father, we thank you. Father, we love you. Father, we adore you and stand in awe of you. May the Spirit of the Father, may your Spirit rest upon us, Lord, to love you, to be your sons and your daughters, Lord, to never be away from you, we pray. Holy Spirit, keep us close in the Father's heart, close to the Father's heart. Lord, in our homes, our children, our grandchildren, and Lord, generations beyond, our children's children, children. Lord, may your Spirit mark our homes. May the blood of Jesus rest on our lineage. Rest in our homes, O God, for generations to come. And all we pray to the glory and honor of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you.